Welcome back for another episode of So I wanted to continue our discussion from last time and then move to another either separate topic and or not another nothing that emerges from your discussion of the nature of the institution of agency of shlichus. Just to remind ourselves, last time we opened up the classic question as to the nature of the relationship between the Mishaleach and the Shaliach. Is the relationship only born of the result of his action? In other words, the result of the Shaliach's action accrues to the Mishaleach. But we're saying that there's some personalistic identity or quasi-union, as it were, between the Mishaleach and the Shaliach. We mentioned that Rav Soloveitchik opens up this question in an intriguing essay. In context of the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, I still have to get that for you. didn't think to bring it today because it wasn't a firm really discussion. But the Rav, in case you're teaching this and or want to see an interesting formulation of these two possibilities, is a very nice essay. And we suggested that this issue emerges from a careful reading of the Gemara. We saw that it may also play into the subject of Shliach Osa Shaliach. To what extent is the Shliach empowered independently or not? We saw that the Makne addresses that question, connects it to the phraseology of Shulcho Shadon Kamoso, indicating or suggesting that that phraseology itself indicates the latter, more ambitious or far-reaching notion of some sort of union, as it were, of personalistic identity between the Shliach and the Shaliach. We saw as well that it could be that another classic nafkamina is the question of the status of the Shaliach during the time not of the Minoi Shlichos, in which case it's obvious that it's critical, but rather at the time of the execution of the Shlichot. That if I maintain that the Shaliach is completely independent, then it would be irrelevant as to the status of the Shaliach, whereas if I say that there's some sort of union identity, etc., so then it's possible to argue, though not necessary, to claim that the role of the Shaliach, or the mental state of mind, his mental capacity at the time of the implementation of the Shlichot, may be relevant at that point. We saw the Rambam, the tour, in the discussion in the Tzos. We also saw one final thing in terms of, to circle back to Shaliach Osa Shaliach, is the classic psak of the Kadosh Midrus in context of Mili, the Mili Lo Mimsam the Shaliach, his distinction between Shaliach in context of Shaliach Laholacha, in context of Gerushin versus that of Kiddushin, suggesting that there's a distinction along the lines of Bal Korcha, and he even basically says that when it comes to Get, so because it's Bal Korcha, it's as if the action has already taken place, and therefore that allows for a greater degree of identity between the Mishaleach and the Shaliach, and he even used the law in the Yad HaShaliach Ki Yad HaBaal, and therefore there is no problem of Mili, the Shaliach is empowered to appoint yet another Shaliach. So in doing so, the Mordechai seems to offer two tracks, right? When it comes to Shaliach Laholacha for Kiddushin, that's the more limited form of Shlichus. Whereas when it comes to Shaliach Laholacha for Gerushin, Yad HaShaliach Yad HaBaal, there's this identity and this empowerment on the part of the Shaliach, and therefore the Shaliach would in turn be able to appoint another Shaliach. I wanted to continue this discussion with one other nafka mina. I'm selling the Hakdama Sorshi, and that nafkamina, possible nafkamina, and a very intriguing discussion, and a far-reaching one, is the capacity of a non-Jew, of a Gentile, to appoint a fellow Gentile as a messenger. You know, the Gemara that we read last week tells us in the Gemara toward the bottom, Mem Aleph and Mabiz. No, we did read it. We did not read it last time, sorry. The Gemara there introduces the possibility, discusses the role of the pasuk about Tem Gam Atem. Originally, the Gemara thought that Atem Gam Atem is not a first shlichus with regard to Truma. Then the Gemara challenges that and says that we should be able to learn shlichus with regard to Truma from a Tzad HaShava between Gerushin / Kiddushin on the one hand and Karban Pesach or Kodshim on the other. And therefore, there would be no need for an independent pasuk with regard to Truma. And we know Truma from the Tzad HaShava. We don't even need to come on to the pasuk about Tem Gam Atem. If so, ask the Gemara, what does that Tem Gam Atem come to teach me? So the Gemara the Bam on Malcolm B suggests that a Tem Gam Atem comes to teach us that, in fact, not only is there an institution of Shlichos that we know already, we don't need a separate pasuk. That comes to teach us that a Tem Gam Atem, that there needs to be fundamental similarity between the Mashiach and the Shliach. Matem Bris, Av Shluchachem Nami, B'nei Bris. So the Gemara indicates that a Jew is not able to appoint a Gentile as a Shaliach because on the basis of a Tem Gam Atem. The Gemara goes on to say it's true even with regard to Truma, it's opinion among the Tanaim, the Chol Tanaim is opinion among the Tanaim, that Ha'akum Shetorim Truma So Truma. So in other words, it's not because he's excluded from the category, it's in obitoras, right? It's because, right, despite the fact that an akum could theoretically separate truman, there would be a chalut, and there would be kedusha truman, misa v'nishamayim, and the whole nine yards. Nevertheless, it's a function of shlichos, even though in theory it's included in this category, there's a general principle that a matem reibris af shlichachem nami reibris. That's what the Gemara says. So now the question arises among maybe Yushonim, and certainly the Achronim, what about, sorry, so how do we understand this exclusion? Is this a hafka'ah of Bnei Noach from the category of shlichos entirely? Or is this a more specific point that there needs to be a fundamental similarity? Matem reibris af shlichachem nami reibris, atem gam atem. And therefore perhaps we can argue that a Jew may not be able to appoint a shlech, and perhaps also, presumably vice versa, an akum may not be able to appoint a Jew as a shlech, but what about an akum for another non-Jew? So this is a discussion that takes place primarily among the Achronim. This is a classic tshuva of the Masas ben Yamin. I didn't bring it to you inside, it's quoted in a number of contexts. Masas ben Yamin in Siman Sadi Zayin. I gave you the quotation certainly from the Shach. Take a look at source number 4. The Shach says, this is just in context of shlichos in general. King Kasa Bechuvas Masas bin Yamin Bifshitas. We'll see the quotation in the context in terms of Chametz in a little bit. But the point is that Masas bin Yamin Paskins, in context of Elchus Macheras Chametz, that a non Jew can indeed appoint a fellow non Jew to sell, for example, to be a messenger to buy the Chametz or to sell the Chametz. On my behalf. That's the claim of the Masas bin Yamin. And the Shach seemingly endorses it in this context. The Magen Avraham disagrees. He claims this is completely incorrect. You take a look in the context of Mechiras Chametz in source number 5 in Or HaChaim Tav Mem Chet. If you look, he quotes Siman Sadi Zayin beginning at the end of the third line. But Siman Sadi Zayin Kasav, name of Masas bin Yamin, he quoted a previous Sakh. Another psak, another tshuva, the Masas bin Yamin hiknulub, m'shich l'chub lo kasev kani. Okay, fine, separate halacha. V'im ha'akam shalach shluchau u'mashach kani. In other words, that's the case, right? That's the point of Masas bin Yamin. That let's say the non-Jew to whom I plan to sell the chametz doesn't perform a masa kinyan on his own, but rather appoints a messenger to perform the masa kinyan on his behalf. Now, I need to know, forget Bnei Noach, right? Bnei Noach on their own. Bnei Noach, right, here have a ripple impact on the halacha for the Jew. Right, so therefore, I need to know as a Jew whether or not I have successfully sold my chametz or given over my chametz to the akum. Well, it depends on the ability, the capacity of an akum to appoint another akum as a messenger. So says the Magen Avraham, quoting the Shach, "Ma'akum shalach shlucham u'mashach kani gam kein." Af agav de'im shlichos va'akum. Right. I. What about the Gemara in Kiddushin? So says Masas bin Yamin, as we saw. Hanimili akum liyisrael o ipcha. Right. He grants the vice versa. Akum akum o ses shaliach. Right. So he quotes Masas bin Yamin. Says the Magen Avraham, it's sarach iyon. It's wrong. I disagree. It's problematic. The Yerushalmi Rishpek Vav Didzmai Isa. And basically, if you look at the Yerushalmi, that's more or less what it says. You don't even need to see it inside. Clear. De'in akum o ses shaliach liakum chaverayim sham. V'chin manem. This is interesting. V'chin mashma. Hashta de Talmud Arish Parabek de Kiddush. Lachin in Lahakel Lazetz. The Magen Avraham disagrees with the Masas bin Yamin, and presumably the Shach as well seems to endorse the Masas bin Yamin. The Magen Avraham pushes back, disagrees, he thinks an Akum is not able to appoint another Shleach Nafyuna from Mechiras Chametz. Now, it's interesting, it's really interesting, in terms of his understanding of the Gemara and Kiddush. Again, we didn't read that piece together, but I think that it's, right? I think I summarized it fairly. Right? Again, all the Gemara says is Ma'atem b'nibris af shulchachem nami b'nibris. Right?
Yeah.
And again, Ma'atem gam atem.
This teaches the whole notion of shlichut or shaliach to be b'nibris.
Right, so that's the question. But I could have also said that it's... I mean, I'm not saying it implies...
Or shlichut.
I'm just saying, I don't know, to me it's fair reading either way.
Okay, so again, I'm not saying...
But he's not saying, he's saying, it's dafka mashma.
That's the understanding.
Right? But I'm saying, like, in other words, I can just easily read the other way, that it has to be, the tzarech liyot to miyot. Okay. Fine. So what do you want to do with it? Okay, fine. In any case, be that as it may, even as it may, that's this machlokas. Take a look at the Beis Shmuel, an interesting application, not so practical, but another application. Actually, it ends up being practical, I'll tell you. Because I faced this question actually a couple times at Einstein's relevant for medical students. The question of Siros for Ben Noach. Sirus for Ben Noach is relevant in theory for someone, for example, studying to be or in practicing OBGYN, tying tubes and so on and so forth, all sorts of different scenarios along those lines. So for example, let's say, and I'm not saying this, but let's just say there's a halachically problematic act of sirus, tying tubes and other kinds of other types of procedures that are being performed, and I'm a medical student, I'm a third year medical student rotating through OBGYN, and I'm not having anything but extremely complicated and delicate issues, but I'm asked to hold the instrument in place, hold some sort of instrument in place, or to pass the instrument so the doctors perform the procedure, and so on and so forth. I'm not even talking about the procedure itself. So this is basically, now you might say, wait a second, the doctor is theoretically, what's the end? Well, so no, but Sirus is usur for Bnei Noach. Sirus even, that's the point. Sanhedrin is at least one day, we assume halacha. It's a big machlokes rishonim, but we assume the 3 days. It's mutter for Bnei Noach, it's asur Rabban, it's asur Midza Oraisa. It's a big discussion, but we're machmir in general. So now the question is, there's a concern about, right, so mitzayeya to anakum, because we know, it's very clear in the Gemara in a couple of places, that lifni iver applies to tripping up a non-Jew in an avera for him or her, for the Gentile. That's clear. No, that's clear. It's clear. I was just saying, it's evident from the Gemara in a couple of ago. It's clear in Shas, with regard to in Matas Zarazar, it's taken for granted that lifni iver applies to interactions with Gentiles as well. It's an interesting question in theory, but that, I think, is crystal clear in Shas. So once that's true, so here, assuming an Akum is Mitzuv and Sirus, so you have a very interesting question about Misayeya to an Akum, with Me'iver, with an Akum, in this context. So that's a very interesting medical halakha question in general that comes up, and there's a lot of discussion in the Zoom to be made for medical students, at least when I used to tell people, based on conversations with Rabbi Willig, and there's a discussion, a whole bunch of different issues that... whatever, but so that's the context. So in that context, the Beis Shmuel at the end of Siman Hey, which discusses the halachot of Sirus, so he talks about la'akom acher. So the Mechaber says that you are allowed to. The Mechaber basically says that this is okay. That it's okay for me to assist an akom who is then going to assist another akom in performing an act of Sirus. That's the specific case is giving the animal. We're talking about it's Isur Sirus on Behemah as well. So. Talk about it comes up for veterinarian. It's like I'm just raising these issues for everyone's awareness. But so the point is that I give an animal not to the person who's going to perform the siras, but to an akum who's then going to appoint. I'm going to give that animal to another akum who's going to perform siras. That's the scenario. So the Mechaber says that that's permissible. Well, I don't know animals, but there's a big debate also among the Rishon, big discussion about Siros upon a female.
Right.
Sorry, the Isser for a female to perform Siros, rather. That's the issue.
To perform?
Yeah, Siros is on someone else. No, on someone else. On a male, yeah.
How would that be any different?
Because it could be that Siros is a function of Puruvu. It's a bit of Puruvu.
Right.
So why is
it? And then it may not be incumbent.
If she does it on another, if she does it on another Jewish man,
yeah, it's not her. She's not.
She doesn't violate. The guy violates.
No, she's doing the Maisa Avera, but it might not be a Maisa Avera, or at least Mida Raisa, because she's not Mitzvah Purim. That's the question. Yeah. That's yours. That's a big machlokes with the Tzaddik. That's a big discussion. And yes, the Mechaber says that's permissible for me to give the animal to one of them, that Akum will pass down to another person. So in that context, the Beis Shmuel writes in verse 6, the Az Havi Lifnei to Lifnei Mutar. That's why that's permissible. It's two steps, it's an extra step removed. It's Lifnei to Lifnei. And then he says, V'afilum nasan l'shlucha im shlichas la'akum. So he says, let's say I'm not giving it to an Akum, right? I'm going to give it to an Akum who has been appointed as a messenger of another Gentile to acquire this animal on his behalf. So, or it's if I give it directly to an akum, that's problematic. If I give it to an akum who then gives it to another akum, that's permissible. It's lifnei to lifnei. That's the mechaber. So the Beis Shmuel wants to know what's the halacha if I give it to a Gentile who's been appointed as a messenger of another Gentile to acquire the animal on his behalf. So it's not lifnei to lifnei lichora because it's going directly to, right? It's just he's just the shaliach.
No, that's what he's saying. If I give it to a Gentile,
the Shmuel is saying that's permissible.
I'm giving to an Ahmed who's going to do it on his own, so why do I give it to Shaliach or someone else?
No, he's going to...
He's going to hand out
his it's not, he's saying, suggesting it's not considered to be listening if he's a Shaliach, because I'm basically being magnet to the other person.
I don't understand.
The listening is only because there are two steps, there are two kinyanim. There's an extra magic kinyanim that separates.
If this is no Shaliach, so this guy, the Shaliach, is doing it on his own. If I do have Shlichut, so it goes back to the first guy. I think it's not the case. I think the case is that I'm giving someone to one Akum, and he's appointing someone else to be the Shaliach. And then it's not really Lifnei, because the second Akum is actually the first one, because he is the Shaliach.
But it's in context of Akum Acher.
Yeah, of course, there are two Akums. I'm giving to the first
one. You're saying?
I think the first one is supposed to go over to the second one, by the Shaliach.
So for Masa Avera?
Yeah.
Shlech is for Masa Avera.
That's different though.
I'm Shlech is for Avera.
That's different
though. For Akum there is.
That's different though. I'm
just talking
about that. That's a different question. But I'm just talking about the stuff and doing it on his own.
I don't know. I don't think. Because the point is, that the listening to listening depends on the number of Masekin here. If I'm makne directly to the person who will violate the Isser Sirah, so then it's lifnei. If I'm not being makne directly to him, if it's I'm being makne to another person who will then in turn be makne to the person who performs Sirah, it's lifnei, and it's permissible. So now the question is, I give it to one Akum, who has been appointed a messenger on behalf of the person who will be Misaretz.
Okay.
So now I've given it to a middle party, alright? But the person who will be Masaris is already acquired.
Is that Mutar also?
That's the question.
That's the question.
So the Shmuel Paskin Tishma as the Talui Nishlichut La'akum Zevdu Kashela. That's what the Beit Shmuel is saying. He has an opinion. He thinks the Masas Binyamin is wrong. That's what he says.
So he doesn't end Shlichut.
He says, Ein Shlichut La'akum, therefore it's permissible.
No, because he can't
be a messenger for his friend. He's not doing anything. He then gives it to the second Akum, who will perform the Masa Siras.
Oh, so he has to get to
the other ones. Yeah, that's for sure. Either way, the second party is doing Masa Siras.
It's a greater connection.
Then I'm being mapped directly, essentially. That's it.
So he's a Shalia, not for the Masa. He's a Shalia to hand over.
Yeah, for the connection. Sorry. So that's what the Shmuel says. But I feel nothing. The shlucho ein shlichot la'akom sham b'trumas hadeshen. So it's actually this psak is based on trumas hadeshen. So the Beit Shmuel wants to say that the truma, you see that the trumas hadeshen rejects the masas minyan. There's evidence in the Rishonim already against the masas binyamin. That even a Gentile for a Gentile is not able to appoint the messenger. Afilu Rashma Mina, Afilu Akum Akum in Shlichot. Velo ke Masa Binyamin, consistent in Sarifah. Pazak Vipshitos Akum Akum, Yish Shlichot. Fine, Shivas Marsha. Okay, fine. So there are other Mikorot about Zeriki Be'igur about this. There are other Mikorot.
Would that matter, assuming, so if I understood it, if there is Shlichos, then it's Lifnei to Lifnei?
No.
Then it's Lifnei.
Because it's as if I'm giving it directly.
Okay, so that's assuming one side of the... Is he the guy himself? That's assuming
that's
one side.
I haven't said the lambdas yet. All we did is describe the machlokas, right? We didn't say any lambdas. So I'm saying the fact
that you can make that distinction is based on assuming one side of the chakira.
So, Guy, what do you want to say? You want to say that
if you hold that he's actually... It's an extension of the Yad HaBaal, then it's still Lifnei. Even if it's shlichus, because
that's what you're
it's
saying.
Lifnei. If he's his own entity, then it's lifnei to lifnei. So making that distinction is assuming you accept that side of the chakira.
I'm not certain, but I could hear it. I'm not sure I want to think about that. It's possible. But I was going to say something broader, in other words, something else, which is that what about this entire question of Akum for Akum? In other words, what's the basis for that? So what I want to say is as follows. If I hold, maybe, I don't know if it's Mokrach either. It might be unrelated. I'm not claiming it is. I'm saying this is an important machloket in its own right, and it may be related to the general, to the broader Chagira in the following way. In other words, why would I say that an Akum, right? And then Akum, I understand if you're going to tell me that he has to be similar to me, okay? maybe. Again, you could say in different ways, it's not Mokra. But especially to say, whereas why would I say that, that an Akum doesn't have the capacity to appoint Zosha? So you could just say it's because Zerah Katov, and Zerah Katov was not saved with the Gartav, and that's possible. It's also possible, it's plausible to argue that no, that the point is, right? Actually, you could say it either way. Okay, let me say it this way. I don't know if it's Salim the Chakira. What I would say is as follows. I can use the personalistic identity approach to explain really either side, you have to explain it in a very different way. In other words, as follows. If the point of the exclusion of the Akum, I apologize, is that there needs to be a similarity, right? So then the point is, why would there need to be a similarity? Right, between the, right, that
matan,
yeah, between the shalech and the shaliach, right, because it could be, because again, there's some sort of identity. And then you might say that the point is that Akum and Akum have that similarity, right? And therefore, I would say, in other words, this analysis might conclude that if I hold that there's really an identity between the shalech and the shaliach, the point is, again, the second side of the chakir, essentially personalistic union, identity, etc., so then that might explain why an Akum could appoint a Nesim, right, the other one, because the point is, there has to be similarity. If we're going to be similar, we have to be fundamentally alike. Well, that means that we are alike religiously, or, you know, however exactly you want to say that. So therefore, a Jew for another Jew, and a non-Jew for another Jew. That's one way to say it. You could also take that same side of the Chakira, but arrive at the opposite conclusion. And this goes to the issue of broader questions about the relationship between Jews and Jews on the one hand, and Akum on the other. So in other words, I might say, no, the point is there has to be fundamental similarity, but then I have to raise the question, well, is there really a fundamental similarity between Akum and an Akum? Or it's this idea, this chiddush, that there can be a personalistic identity between these two individuals, right? Is that really something that can be mimicked with regard to an Akum and an Akum? And that is an interesting question. In other words, do I say that the relationship between two Yehudim, hi, how are you? A quick question? Okay, so again, so if I hold to that second side of the Chakira, then it raises the question, what's the flip side is to say that it raises the question is the relationship between Jew and Jew on the one hand and Akum on the other hand. Is that relationship really the same or not? And then it raises all sorts of philosophical issues about all sorts of really interesting questions. Let's just say that. Rav Kook has passages where he indicates that the relationship between those two respective groups qualitatively different. There's a lot of literature surrounding the Pasuk in Parshat Hazinu. Yaakov Chevel Nachalato, that there's some sort of Chevel that brings together some sort of unified source. And it's a very interesting passage, quasi-Kabbalistic almost. He wasn't a classic Kubal, but... Arivut is parallel because you have a similar question about Arivut. Is it just a chidush? Or the point is, like the Ritva says, that and others as well, which is really the Pashup Shat in Arivut, is that there really is some sort of unity. Yeah, 100%. And then you wouldn't have that Arivut. Where does Arivut come from? Is it just because we said so? No, the point is, if you really say we're Kiyesh Echad, where does that come from? It's metaphysical, presumably. So it goes back ultimately to the same issue. But yeah, Arivut is absolutely a parallel chakira, a parallel issue. And if anything, Arivut, it's easier to say than Vashlichlera. There's more evidence than Rishonim for this idea of the unity. And really, you're right to mention it. It's actually a very important foundation for this idea of Shlichlera, because that's really where you see it even more explicitly in the Rishonim than with regards to Shlichlera. So that's very helpful. No? Okay, fine. So that's enough for me. I want to point out also, to wrap up the first sheet, this is not necessarily nafkamina, but an intriguing and important issue of shlichut that arises from our Gemara. So our Gemara has the four categories where we derive shlichut, kiddush and gerushin, truma, and korban pesach/kadshim, and I want to focus in on the third. The first two and the latter, kiddush and gerushin and Shechita for at least Korban Pesach, it seems pretty clear that there's a true requirement of Shlichut. Whether there's a true requirement of Shlichut for Shechitas She'ar Kadshim is subject to some controversy. I think I mentioned that last week. There's a Pnei Yeshua about this, there's a Rashi in the Pnei Yeshua about this, a broader conversation. But at least for Korban Pesach, there does seem to be a certain requirement of Shlichut with regard to Shechita to Pesach. fine. What about Truma? So Truma at first glance, if I want to appoint someone else to separate Truma, so Lechora, it would seem clear that that's a true act of that requires true Shlichot. And yet, the truth is that there are indications otherwise, there might not actually be a strict requirement of Shlichot with regard to Truma. Now the truth is, Truma becomes a model for lots of areas of Halacha, where there's a certain degree of ambiguity, I think I mentioned this last time quickly as well, with regard to requirement of Shlichot. Mila. I don't know if I mentioned this, but Mila, Pidyon HaBen, for example, classic areas where there's a major controversy among the Rishonim slash Achronim. When I appoint a Mohel, right, the idea that appoints a Mohel is that together Shlichos, or is that together we don't require Shlichos? The same major debate with regard to Pidyon HaBen. Well, Talmud Torah actually is the proof that many offer to say that it's not really Shlichot. It was to say that we are technically Shluchim of our students' parents would be really, really cool. To say that we're their shluchim, actually a really interesting model, but probably isn't true. So whatever, there's lots to say. Or la shitob b'nahar, right? Do I have to teach him swim myself, or can I just appoint the swimming instructor to accomplish that? So l'chora, that's the swimming, and the camp swimming instructor is probably not my shliach for the chiyuv of la shitob b'nahar, right? More likely, there's no requirement of a maisa limud, right? It's an act of teaching him. But rather, I just have the responsibility to ensure that that result takes
place. So we are two, brother Shalian.
What?
We are two. We're
a chesed. We're not a god.
Parents, you still have to teach.
Ken, how long did it take you to learn this? Okay. Okay. That was, of course, a tremendous... That was just a joke. Okay.
You don't understand what I
was. Okay, so... Fine, Rabbi Koren. Okay, you get yourself in trouble on the recording, now it's your problem. Okay, fine. So, okay, fine. So the question is, why would we think otherwise? So I'm not going to read the entire Gemara Nedarim, but there is a discussion in context of Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara raises the question, if I separate Shuma, so to say, if I separate Shuma on behalf of my friend, Sarach Dato Olo. Do I say, well, it's a zachin, essentially? Source A, the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Amud Bet. Do I say that since it's a zachus, all right, he does not require da'as? Right? That's the suffix of the Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara brings, the Gemara says, Tashma, back and forth. You take a look at the conclusion of the Gemara, second to last line. El olav d'l'da'atei dinafshei. Rather, it must be, it's l'da'atei dinafshei. In other words, it's his own, it's really, he's doing it independently, without rishus of the Baal. Mishelo, Torah Mashal Chavero. Ve'inam Tzarech Da'as, right? So the Gemara says, right, if that's the case, right, Hakamahani Lai, right, Elalav, right, in Tzarech Da'as, fine. So the Gemara says like this, sorry. Lo'ola Mishel Baal Akri Al Shabal Al Baal Akri. Really, the case is where I'm separating from his truman, his own, right? From the Baal Akri, Al Baal Akri, Kedama Rava, Be'omer Ko, Rotza Litrum, Yavo V'Yitro, Machinami Be'omer V'Chulo. Or that's what Mar is saying, and again, we skipped a little bit because from the part that we jumped, but basically, in other words, the point is, right, because it comes up in context of Hana, and how come a Hani, if he's Mudar Hana from, right, if one is Mudar Hana from the other, so the question is, am I not, if I perform Shlichot on behalf of the Baal Akri, am I not providing him with some tangible benefit? That's the part that I skipped. So the point of the Gemara is, the Gemara here seems to say, no, it's not really Hana, there's no violation of Mudar Hana. Why? Because it's not, right? The Gemara says, well, it's just be'omer kohay akoro to litro miyavo v'yitro. So it's not a violation of hana'a in that regard. So the question is, why is it not a violation of mudr hana'a? L'chora, he's asking, right? On, right? He didn't ask me directly, but the bottom line is I separate truma on his behalf. So the simple reading of Gemara, or many suggest that the simple reading of Gemara should be, that the point is, no, if I'm his shliach in a technical sense, so then... Right, it's truly a violation of the Mudar Hana. Whereas, if what I'm doing is just, well, I'm just separating Truma on his behalf, I'm not technically a Shaliach. And it's just that, okay, but now his Truma has been separated. So I'm not standing in for him in that way. And perhaps, if I'm not technically a Shaliach, arguably, then there's no violation of Mudar Hana. Which is not obvious that that would be the case, even if it's not a function of Shlichot. But that's kind of what the Gemara seems to be indicating. And if that's true, would not the Gemara be indicating that it's possible for me to separate Shuma on behalf of someone without the category of Shlichot? But if that's possible,
right? So then what in the world is the point of Hal Sugya? Our whole Sugya is nonsensical now. Right? Entire Gemara has been wiped off the map. Makes no sense. The whole Sugya, right? We're discussing at least the nature part of it, right? Atem, and Truma, and this, Shlichus. We don't need Shlichus for Truma. Ribono Shalom, what are you talking about? It's for Shemar Nidaren, right? Or is it? So that becomes the subject of a controversy, of a machokas between Tosos and the Ramban. Others get in the act as well. And it comes up in context of the Gemara in Gittin of Samchav Mal. The Mishnah tells us there, among other things, the relevant line, Mishayim Roshach Lavor, V'amar Kol HaShomeas Kolo, kind of sounds similar to the case of Kol Rotze Lichrom Yavo Vichrom, V'amar Kol HaShomeas Kolo Yichtov Get Lishto, Hari Ilu Yichtov V'Yidnem. So Tosos picks up on the Sugya Nidarem, Kol HaShomeas Kolo V'Cholo, Afa Pidi Amin Ferak Vin Bin Muzer. Right, what about that Gemara? Gabi Muzer Hana, Michavro, turn low Shumasa Ludato, Vidik, the Gemara Ludato Dima, Ilim Ludata Dide, Man Shavya Shaliach, right? Who appointed him the Shaliach? Sorry, that's really, maybe I shouldn't have skipped the whole Gemara, but the point is the Gemara says Man Shavya Shaliach, and the Gemara says, no, it's Kola, right? Kola Omeri, right? Yavo Vietro, Kola Rosa Yavo Vietro. So it's not, sounds like it's not Shavya Shaliach, rather, it's this other category of Kola Rosa Vietro. Again, that it's Rishuot, not Shlichos. Fine. Elba Kriya Kamahanile, right? The Avat Shlichuse, Umuki La, the Omer Koharotza Litra Yovo Yitro. So says Tosa, Lav Mishum Dechi Amar Haki, Lav Shlichuse Avid. Divit Shuma Bo'inan Shlichus. No, it's not about Shlichus in general. Elodina Mudr Hana Dafka Lochashiv Shlichus, Chi Hashiv Bechach Kamahanile, Kim Shalot Sivala Atzmo. Right, Oshema, there's another Chiluk as well, which we need to say. Tosos says, nah, really it's Shlichus. After all, Shuma requires Shlichus. But this is the prime Shuma. In other words, yes, it's Shlichus, but it's not enough to qualify as Mudr Hana. Because they didn't appoint you. I said generically, anyone wants to be my Shliach? Okay. Is there that direct interface or benefit between you appointing me and me quid pro quo responding and performing this act on your behalf? No, that's apparently enough for Mudr Hana. Is that obvious that it's not enough to qualify for Mudr Hana? I don't know, but even the non-shlichos track is not so obvious, so it's kind of difficult either way. But that's the position of Tosa. And Tosa, a number of other Rishonim, thereby maintain the assumption, based presumably on our sugya on Gidushin, that Shuma requires shlichos. The Ramban classically disagrees. Says the Ramban right there in Sfan Gittin, Hadisnan, Mishayim Moshav Vavor, Vamar Choshim Yakol, Yichtov Ketli Yishto, Tushim Gmar, Afer Gamadir, Kevin, Dechivin, Amar, Yichtov Shlichus, Ekavim, Be'ikad Akashalei. Right? How does not be nedarim? Perkin in the mudra. Now, mechaver otron lim shurma. So, umechilim al bigamar damar kol rotsa leitrom yafal biyishrom. The amashlichu seka v'im kainan and the menu. So, Tosos his question. Says the Ramban now. Ve'ina kusha. The hasam kol harotsa leitrom ka amar midato. Ve'ina ella kinosin rishos lav shlichu seu. Ve'gabi truma afilu iloi data nami mahani. Afilu. And it brings a separate raya from Ilum Mitzios, or Inferik Ilum Mitzios, Kalachitol Yathos, and Ninsu Yathos Mehen Shumaso Truma, which he's assuming, separate discussion, is a raya for this position. So that's the theory of the Ramban, that primarily on the basis of the Sugya in Nidarim, we see that in fact there's no requirement of Shlichus with regard to Truma. Now, what the Ramban doesn't ask, we have to ask in context of our sugya in Kiddushin, so what in the world do we do with our whole sugya? L'chora, it's very strange. And our Ramban doesn't address this question. What do you guys think?
Meaning why then?
No, not why doesn't the how would the Ramban grapple with our sugya? Doesn't our sugya seem to indicate that there is a need for shlichus with regard to truma? Right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I know it's a new makorim really quickly. But in the basis,
what was thought for?
Yeah, the Ramban from Matthias is problematic. It's also the Havin of one. Kind of, it would seem. This is a little pusher. There are other issues. The whole, the second Lomsia requires its own conversation, but the Raya is really low pusher. If you want on the VBM, Rav Yair Katz's article, he discusses this as well. and get to read it carefully. But I saw that he tries to grapple with the sugya of Masiya and in general develops the Ramban. But apparently, either way, we have to say for the Ramban is that there are two tracks with regard to Truma, and maybe in other areas as well. It's a fascinating model. Just because Shlichus is not critical doesn't mean Shlichus cannot operate. Because until now, it would assume that Shlichus operates where it's essential. In other words, in order for someone else to perform the sum that you have, so the Torah has to invent the category of Shlichus. And that's Lechor Watoso would maintain, Ashras. The Ramban apparently disagrees. According to the Ramban, there's a totally different model of Shlichus. Shlichus is an avenue, right, even when it's not the only avenue. Now, what the nafkamina is left to our imagination. In other words, it's an interesting question. Maybe there would be more latitude, for example, to a shaliach, right? Especially if I take a more, more far-reaching view of the role of a shaliach, so then maybe I can go in that direction. I don't know. It's an interesting question. But apparently, right, so in other words, for example, how much latitude does it have to be mishani midas balabayas, or to estimate the dad balabayas? So if it's Rishutz, then he may have less latitude, whereas if it's a Shliach, then he may have more latitude, right? What about Shliach Osa Shliach? Right? All these things. Right? Can I, right? I don't know. If it's Kol HaRotza Litron, right? Now, you might not need to come on to it because it's Kol HaRotza Litron. But let's say the guy says, anyone who's standing here and hears, right, can separate. Right? But then it's a violation of yours. I don't know exactly the case. But in theory, you can start to see that there might be two models that operate in a particular scenario, either it's shlichot or it's not shlichot, and both tracks remain available, and there may be halachic distinctions, right, between the two categories, and yet both are operative. So the Ramban, I think, just opens us up. This is really a separate insight than our whole discussion as to the nature of shlichot. Could try to connect that. I don't really see why it should be, but I'm just observing that there might be two very different models as to the necessity, the applicability of shlichot, even to categories where it's not really needed, and that there might be a fundamental debate between Tosafot and Ramban about exactly that issue, as it plays out with regard to Truma. And I'm arguing that even according to Ramban, there might still be qualitative differences between Rishut on the one hand, and Shlichut on the other, in terms of all these issues, Meshana Midat Balabai, and Shlech Lesser Shliach, and some of the other Nafkaminot that we saw as well. Okay, Adkan for this week. Next week we'll discuss Shlichut B'mitzvot Aseh. And three-way argument between the Ma'arach or Zeruah, the Tosafot Rid, and the Ketzos. Classic discussion. Right? Why can't my shliach wear tefillin on my behalf?